In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. William Willimon is a Methodist pastor, and he's taught at Duke Divinity School. And not too long ago, for a few years anyway, he has been bishop of Alabama within the Methodist system. And he tells the story about when he first goes to this assignment to be the bishop over the state of Alabama, or that particular district in terms of the Methodist Church, of asking someone who had been around for a while, somebody that he respected, if that person could describe to him what he was getting into, for Alabama was new territory for him. He wanted to know what the people were like and what the orientation of it was. And this person that he asked thought for a few minutes and said, "I think I have a story for you," he says, "that kind of sums it all up for you as to what it's going to be like to go and be the bishop of the folks in Alabama." He said that there was a man who was new to a particular town in Alabama and was looking for some firewood. And as he drove around, he indeed saw a sign out that said, "Wood for sale." He said, "Perfect," he said. So he drove up long driveway, and he saw an elderly gentleman sitting on the front porch, and he got out, and he said to the person, he said, "I want to order some wood." And the old man got up out of his chair and grabbed his shotgun and pointed at him and says, "Nobody's ordering me to do nothing." There's a stubborn streak in each of us. And yet we don't have to be from Alabama to exhibit it very easily. Sometimes we're called hard-headed. Or to put the best light on it, we'll say, "Well, we've got some experience and we know the best. We've tried different things and we know that this is the way in which things ought to be." Well, the fact of the matter is that we have felt God's call. We have been raised in the faith. Indeed, we have been brought to the baptismal font and that particular covenant, this mystery of God's presence with us, of God's sign being put upon us. We begin to understand as we grow up and start doing our own thinking that God asks us to serve together and to serve in His way. In other words, He's asking for obedience, to do it God's way. Not because God is being belligerent or because God is hard-headed, but because in the eternal wisdom of the Creator God, God knows what is best for us and loves us. Jesus comes to His cousin John, who has felt the need to go and to live in the desert and to begin preaching the coming of the kingdom of God. And people resonate with this. It meets a need, and they start coming out from the towns and the villages, and they gather in the desert, and they listen to John. And what does he tell them? He tells them to repent. Be honest with yourselves in terms of who you are and your shortcomings, and come. Come, be baptized. Now, baptism was something that was a ritual that was used. This ritual of cleansing was used throughout the Hebrew world, so it was nothing new to go and to have an evangelist show up every once in a while and to use it. But there was something special somehow about John's baptism. And people came and they were washed in the waters of the Jordan River. And John said, "Your sins have been washed away. Your relationship with God has been put back together. Indeed, you have been cleansed the way only God can cleanse you." So Jesus, at the beginning of His public ministry, according to St. Matthew, goes to where His cousin is preaching. They indeed obviously knew each other, because Jesus goes up to him and says, "You know, cousin John, I wish to be baptized." And John protests. John says, "No, you don't need to be baptized." John knew who Jesus was and why he was there. And Jesus says, "No, it is important. For here is where the centuries of all the relationship between humankind and God are going to come together. And this is the beginning in this baptism. What Jesus is saying to John, you don't know any better. This is what God asks us to do, to be in full obedience to God's way, that God will show us, and that this is the way, and we need to understand that, to fully give ourselves over to God. This is God's work. This is putting all things right from this moment forward. Obedience to God's way. Easy for you to say, preacher, and yet we know in terms of living in the world, it's always not that easy. We often wonder about why we are left to our own devices sometimes. We resist. We're like John, we think we know better. Or if we don't live in Alabama, we know other things that we don't want anybody ordering us around and telling us what to do. We feel the need for the order. We feel the need to be our best selves. And yet we keep making other choices. We resist. We bluster. We've always done it that way. That's the Presbyterian way or the Bethel way or the whatever. That's the way we do that here. Or, well, you know, we really do love our history and that's our foundation. All true. And that's the way we are. And that's the way we're going to be. And that's how things came to be, hung on the wall or put together in the building or to be about our ministry. And that's the way it is. And that's the way we're going to do it. We resist in lots and lots of different ways. Indeed, it was just a few weeks ago that I met a person who has roots in this very congregation. This particular person does not come on a regular basis, is not a member, but the family roots are here. Indeed, there are names in the windows that this person stands and says, yes, these are my roots, and I am really proud of this. Do you know this story about my ancestor or about this person or about that? And he was very proud to tell me about all of that, of which he was very, very proud. But do you know what was missing and what I was burning to ask, but I was being too Presbyterian, you know, I didn't want to be too straightforward, you don't want to chase anybody away, but what I wanted to ask, but what about now? What about now in terms of all of that history and all of those things that you are so proud of? What is your contribution? What has that taught you about being in obedience to God? And how does that work out in your life? You see, I think that's a legitimate question for each and every one of us, whether you are a member here at Bethel, whether your roots are here, or whether it is from someplace else. The Sunday school class shook their head today when I told them that back in the 70s I pastored a church. It was a new church development. And that people moved in and out of that community all the time. And the average life of a family in that congregation was 4 years. They would move in, they'd have a new job and get oriented in terms of school system, but about 4 years average, they would move out and be gone. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And yet they came to that church, and it was their place. And it was where they tried to structure themselves to be in obedience to God, no matter where they were living, where they had come from, while they were there, or where they were moving on to. Look at the great wealth of history and of foundation and of tradition you have here at Bethel. And yet, it is not to be a stumbling block. We are always to look to be in obedience to God. God among us, in the very creation. Remember the words about how the Spirit of God was over the waters. And out of this, the creation is formed. And the waters are separated into the dry land and into different bodies of water. And that the Word, John tells us, was in the beginning, the Word being that German, that Greek translation of logos. The very implication being it was that person that we know, the Logos, the Son, was there at the beginning of creation. life-giving waters, and all these things to be named, the beginning of the journey. And you can start with creation, but more importantly, to start with yourself, collectively, Bethel, but also individually. For many of you, how many here were baptized in this church? Wow, is that 50%, something like that, close to it? Okay. And you were brought, if not to this font, to one that was very similar to it. And many of you probably were brought by your parents, in which promises were made by congregation to God to help raise you up in God's way and to know the way in which we are to be obedient to God. There are many ways that that comes to life. I think of my own God-fearing parents, and that's a good word for it. They weren't afraid of God, but they were God-fearing. They were respectful as best as they could be. They loved so much that they knew that just the human element of that could make things go overboard, that there needs to be that love of God that is a part of how they taught what needed to be taught, how they did those kinds of things and showed as well as just spoke words. I remember when I was about that high going to this basement of the Summer Badge Manufacturing Company in Newark, New Jersey, and watching my father, who ran the place. It was a family business. He and my uncle had inherited from my grandfather. As he, in service to the printer Tom, spent half the day setting type before he'd go up into the office and do other things. And that doing that task, being a part of what needed to be done, being a contributing factor in such a real way, was such a lesson for me. And to hear him talk to customers on the phone and to be genuine about it all, about taking turns at church, counting money, and teaching Sunday school, and providing rides for youth groups, and even the disciplining. At home. I have some memories about that. Some of them pretty painful, but some of them certainly, from this perspective, all for my own good, so that I might learn what was best for me. Do you? You've got such memories. I know you do. We all do. My pastor knew me by name. Even as a child, I trusted my pastor, and as I grew up in that church, and I remember the camp counselors, I don't remember their names, they knew my name, but I remember their faces, and I remember their attitudes, and I remember all of those things, all these things that God has shown me, even out in the world, to how to do things right, and how to do them not right, or how to be wrong about things, and how to know the difference. That's the key, isn't it? To pay attention in the here and now, because God knows our name and God calls us to this obedience so that we might be the best, we might be empowered by God. I remember the history professor who taught me more than dates and times and events, but also led class discussions on moral choices and how that has impact upon human history. These living waters. We can say, oh, well, it's just symbol. He just got it out of the kitchen tap. Yes. But it's about the presence of God and about God naming us as congregation as well as individuals. It's about remembering who we are, but also knowing that it's never an ending. It's always a beginning. It's a part of the journey. God taming the chaos of our sin and our sinful inclinations, providing the abundant possibilities and choices, and entering into the creation in Jesus the Christ so that our redemption is complete. Always, always, we are asking and seeking God's applied guidance, whether it's habits from day to day or it's particular choices that we make or the grand things in life or the hard situations that are there to be faced. And the very wonderful and magical one, the worst kept secret in this congregation today is the fact that there are a number of folks missing. Oh, I wonder who they are. Oh, the pastor nominating committee. Ah, they must have been taking the day off. Yeah, well, maybe more like a weekend because maybe, maybe, maybe God is leading them as they continue in their search and in their study and in their prayer to find the pastor that God has already chosen, and in obedience to that, to try and find that person to come and to be pastor here of this wonderful, marvelous, loving, stubborn congregation. So we pray for our PNC, and the symbol is always here in front of us every single Sunday of the baptismal waters. Number one, because God knows our name, and God has had other people know our names and teach us the way. And God calls us continually to this obedience. That's why we come to church every week, not only to see it, but also to know that God is present. That's the way it is about baptism. Now, we just see it as maybe a little ritual that needs to be done, or something that, we do with our children. But it's about all of us. And it's about remembering that it's all a part for us. Indeed, that these waters right here, these are the waters of your baptism with God. And I invite you, if you feel moved, if you don't, that's fine, stay where you are. But I invite you, come to the baptismal font. Come and touch the waters and remember the promises that were made on your behalf and that you make to God to be in obedience to the one who redeems us. Come touch the waters.